Adam, Daniel. Yes. Daniel, Christopher.
Go on then, Tim and Adam, then we'll do the guys.
Chris, a really good performance on Sunday. You're unbeaten so
in
far
one.
This year. How much do you have to cling on to those positives to take into the game this weekend?
Yeah, 100%. We have to. Yeah, it was a good performance. Enjoyed watching the team. Thought, we tried to play as well. We tried to control the game. I think the stats back that up as well. The end bit is always the hardest bit. The keeping it out of the back of the net and putting it in their net is the hardest thing. So we'll get better with that. I'm a bit disappointed with both goals as well. But general play, I thought it was an excellent performance and something that we really deserve to get from the game. I know the game will be talked about because of the decisions at the end of the game. But looking back from a general point of view and reviewing the game, we were good, and steps forward is the aim for us right away from coming into the club to the end of the season. Keep moving it forward.
You went deep in the FA Cup the last time you were here, I think quarter finalists twice. So can you really attack this competition and have a go this time around?
Yes, we haven't won enough games this season. So even the Gillingham game, the winning mentality, getting that feeling back into the players, enjoying the football and enjoying winning games of football. So that was a great exercise for us in what was talked about, a banana skin and everybody expecting a home win. So to get that result and that performance was really good. So I've said all along, Tim, there's no downsides to playing well and winning games of football. And I believe at the moment, this particular period, we're playing okay and we're trying to win games of football, whatever competition it is.
A week to go until the transfer window closes. You said last week you were close to a couple. Can you update us on where you're at with transfers? Are you close to getting anyone in this week?
Yeah, we are. We're close to getting a couple in. So fingers crossed that those things are happening right as we speak. So yeah, you're going to chuck names at me, and yeah, I am going to deflect them and bat them straight back at you. But the big thing is that that when that window shuts next Thursday, that we're stronger and in a better place and a better position than we were when the window opened. And I believe we are now, with the players coming back fit, with the likes of Ben Berrett and Diaz coming into the group, and a couple coming in over the next 24, 48 hours and even longer, the group will be stronger. I do believe as well, from a psychological point of view, you know, our players want to see players come through the door as well to boost their chances of obviously getting results and having a successful second part of the season. So for me, when I was a player, well, you know, unless he played right back, I was delighted that we were bringing players in. And but understanding, you know, competition is key. We're looking a lot healthier as well, with players back out on the training ground, Tom Davis and the likes, getting more extra minutes and getting closer to a return to first team football. So the picture at the moment is quite rosy, and we've got to keep it going that way.
Can I throw one name at you?
You can throw any you want at me, mate.
Ivo Gerbic, the Atletico Madrid goalkeeper. Is that one close? Is he undergoing a medical?
Yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. I'll let me go down there, Tim Anna.
Thank
just
you.
For you. But yeah, he's close. So, you know, fingers crossed we can seal that deal.
Will you let you go down on Sam Curtis as well? Is he close?
Another one. There you go. That's two. I'm getting soft in my old age. Yeah, Sam is in the building as well. He's a different type of player to obviously the goalkeeper, in terms of, you know, coming into the group as a young player, an 18-year-old player. So, yeah, but obviously we'll talk about those boys when officially we can talk about them. But Sam's in the building as well.
You've been linked with a whole host of defenders, including Mason Holgate and Ben Godfrey and Chris Meppen. But is defender the last position you want to bring in?
Yeah, well, the position specific, you know, positions that we're after, we feel we're going to nail. And you know, we've lost two really key players in terms of Chris Basham and John Egan, and we are light from right-footed centre half. So. You know, I like that balance. We want that option of going and playing free as well. And with George being out, that limits us to player three. And nobody else can do that. So I want that option. So that is a position that we've identified ever since I walked through the building, that, you know, that we need somebody to cover the incredibly unfortunate injuries to two huge players for us. Not just from an ability point of view in John and Bash, but from a personality point of view, from an experience point of view, from a cultural point of view as well. Yeah, it's a position that we're still looking at, and fingers crossed we'll be able to nail down before the window closes.
I was going to ask, is that potentially one you could get somebody in ahead of the Palace game, maybe, or do you envisage it going all the way?
Yeah, Adam, it really is 24/7 in terms of our work, and you know, in that is some really important games. You know, we'll not take away the importance of the game on Saturday, as we didn't the importance of the West Ham game and the Gillingham game as well. But as part and parcel, we understand when we're in football, this is an incredibly hectic period. Players going out as well. Koulibaly goes out as well today on loan. So that'll be announced by the football club. So getting players out, as we have done, to balance it and getting players in, and it's incredibly hectic time, and we'll work through it to the best of our ability and work as hard as we possibly can to, as I said, make that group stronger.
Is there likely to be others leaving before next week?
No, we've got Anis and Yasser coming back from AFCON as well, so it's not been a particularly successful time for both of those boys playing for the country. So, but the flip side of that is that hopefully we're getting back for Saturday afternoon. So they're making their way back as we speak. So, no, I'm looking at that group now and it's set. And as I said, from a positive point of view, stronger, new contract signed there in terms of the young boys as well, and time together. And that's the general feel and the approach that we want to take, you know, of working with this group of players now, right the way through the period to the end of the season, and getting better, knowing that we'll have our setbacks and we'll take a step back now and again. But generally, for me, since I've been in the building, the players have been outstanding. They've moved it forward. They want to move it forward, and that's got to be our aim.
In terms of fitness, are there any of the injured lads that are close to a return, maybe for this weekend or Palace?
Tom Davies is pretty close, whether he'll be available for the Palace game. Rhys Norrington Davies is available for the weekend as well. Max Lowe could be available for the Palace game / Villa game. So there's three or four of those boys. We've only really got two long term ones, which is Bash and John. And the others are working their way back diligently with the medical staff and are trying to get back into the group, which is good from an attitude point of view, that they want to be part of it. The challenge, as always, is making sure the timing of that is the right timing for not only for me. I mean, I'd be delighted if they all come back fit and healthy, and I've got big issues and big decisions to make, but to making sure that they don't re-injure themselves, you know, that is a huge part of, you know, the rehabilitation and their return to training, return to playing.
One specific, George Baldock, just how far away is he?
George is about a couple of weeks away, so he's in between that one. So he's possibly the furthest away from the other group of players that we talked about. Arblaster as well, being out on the grass as well, which is good, because we're really looking forward to working with Ollie as well.
You've already mentioned some big incidents towards the end of the West Ham game that we talked about. There's been plenty of comment this week by a variety of people, including a now Gladiators referee in Mark Clattenburg. I don't know if you'd seen what.
Yeah, I hear it. Bernie. I hear it. I say it all. I just think it's really ignorant in terms of the way we play. Obviously, he didn't watch that game, and he's just going on something even pre-me, really, because in 2016, we were a pretty decent footballing side. So, you know, criticism only hurts when it comes from people you respect. So I'll just leave that at that.
Is it concerning, though, when somebody says something along the lines of, if you know football and you know Sheffield United and you know McBurnie, then you know he's going to try to disrupt the goalkeeper when it's coming from such a senior referee?
Just a nonsense clickbait that they do. They just try and people at the moment, and I suppose that, you know, modern social media, try and make themselves relevant, and just another one. So we know what we're about, we know what we're trying to do, we know how we're trying to play, we know that we've got an honest group of players. And like I said, if people like that, when they do make comments like that, they need to make sure that they get everything right, because obviously he hasn't seen 95% of the way this football club's been playing the football since 2016. And majority of this season, when some ridiculous decisions have gone against us, you know, the likes of Wes getting nailed at Tottenham, you know, Vinny getting nailed against Brentford. So, you know, I'm competitive. I want the game to be physical. It has to be physical. We understand as it is now, but it's nonsense, and we have to deal with that. And we just close ranks a little bit more. We know what we're about. We know what we have to do. And we know what we have to do to go about our business to try and bridge a gap and be successful.
Just one follow-up around those incidents. Obviously, Rhian Brewster was sent off. We had a little chat about after the game about him. Have you had a conversation with him this week?
What's yeah, I mean, I still think, you know, I understand that. And, you know, I understand as well what a missed time tackle looks like as well. So there's no malice in the boys' tackle at all, you know. And I will say that honestly, because I've seen players when they've gone to try and do players, and you understand it, and you see it, and you see the height of it, and you see, you know, body language, you know. And I blame myself a little bit, because I wanted him to go and press, and maybe he's got me shouting in his ear, and he's gone after the ball, and he's made an aggressive challenge. But for me, there was no malice in it. It was mistimed, the obvious reaction, which obviously comes in modern day football. And, you know, referee or referee from away here or whoever makes that decision has made that decision. So, he understands it. I'm really disappointed for the boy as well, because he would have been involved in the next three games, and he's been absolutely bright as a button in training, sharp as. And we're looking forward to working with him again. And we've really been impressed in terms of what he's shown to us since he's got him back out on the grass and training at full tilt. And he has to get over it, and hopefully that quickly happens and gets himself back into the group.
Do you still see Rhian Brewster as somebody with a huge future at this football club?
100%. You know, it's one of my bugbears in terms of when people talk about Rhian. The price that we pay for Rhian was a reasonable price for arguably one of the best number nines at that time, a young number nine as a 21-year-old. You know, we did due diligence on his injuries as well. We wouldn't have spent that type of money on a player if we felt he was going to have a load of injuries. You know, money is precious for us. We have to make the majority of signings absolutely right. We're not always getting them right, but I think going back into the history of what we've had to do from 2016, there's a lot of players that have come into the football club to get our success and to get the value of certain players on free transfers up to the value that they are, and the likes of Lundstrom that we've paid money for. And it isn't, for me as well, it isn't just a resale, it's what they've produced or what they've contributed to a success in terms of getting into the Premier League and the number that brings in twice, a success of staying in the Premier League as well. So, you know, you don't always get them right, but you know, if people think that boy wants to come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and go home at 5 o'clock and watch all his mates kick a ball outside, while he's on a rowing machine or he's on a bike or he's doing weights or he's having physiotherapy, you just haven't got a clue regarding professional footballers, for the majority of them, and certainly what that boy's all about. He suffered. He's been really unfortunate, and everybody is so positive about him. His attitude when he comes in, and I should imagine, you know, if you were picking a player that everybody wants to succeed here, amongst the playing staff, amongst the staff, amongst the internal staff, it would be Rhian Brewster, and we're all right behind him 100%, and hopefully he gets a run and he can get himself back to what he was doing, which was scoring goals. He was scoring goals for England. He was playing in Liverpool's side, and he was coveted by four or five clubs at that particular time. He's got to go and prove it. I understand that there'll be a question mark regarding him from outside Sheffield and even inside Sheffield. And the only way he can do that is getting himself back playing football, being involved in the team and scoring goals and contributing. And fingers crossed he'll be able to do that.
Couple on the game just to finish. How much does the Palace game on Tuesday come into your thinking when you're looking at Brighton and your selections?
Well, we have took the mantra of a game-to-game scenario and how we have to focus on that game, and we are doing that and we're taking that into account. I do think you have to factor in that there's a game on Tuesday night as well, and there's a travel down on Monday. So, you know, at times, you know, we have made wholesale changes, but there won't be wholesale changes for Saturday afternoon. We want to win that game. We understand we're up against a side who's on a great run in Europe, deservedly so. All the stats that go well with them from a, we understand, you know, how they play. We understand, you know, second most possession in the Premier League, which is how they play and how they go about their game. Most passes in the as a Premier League team. So, but from that point of view, we're trying to find us way to open up their weaknesses as well, which we will do to our best of our ability. But as I said, we just got to make sure we get the balance right between Saturday and Tuesday from team selection and approach and everything, because it is a difficult tie that we're going into, you know, and it's one, and I will understand the supporters' point of view that let's get after them, let's go and press them, let's get, you know, let's go and make contact with them. They're at our own ground. I totally understand that. But there's better teams than us that have had to suffer and try and deal with the way Brighton play, and we're going to have to be one of those teams. But hopefully, off the flip side of that, that opens the game up as well, so we can take our chances when those come available.
Just finally, how impressed have you been with Brighton, both on and off the pitch, as an example to all clubs that if you make some good decisions of where you can get in the game?
They make some good decisions, but there's more to Brighton than that as well. You know, it's been going on for quite a while. So, listen, every club goes about it their own way, and you just have to, you know, you have to look at them, and they've had success in the way they've gone about it. And I had a period down there where, you know, we were playing at the With Dean. They'd just come back from Gillingham, and the club was rock bottom, playing in the old fourth division, League Two. But it's climbed its way through, and the owner deserves an incredible amount of credit for that, and obviously a lot of people involved in their progression, and it doesn't seem to be stopping at any particular moment. And they're a difficult outfit to go and play, and we have to be at our best to go and get a result.
Cheers, Chris.
Cheers, Adam.
All good stuff. Daniel, come on.
Where's this come from? Daniel, by the way.
Sorry, Daniel.
Chris, just on